Amen.
It's just exciting. If it's any better than this in heaven, it's going to be wonderful, isn't it? That's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord. I really enjoyed that Sunday school lesson, or the message this morning.
That was
tremendous. This morning, look in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Luke 7. I tell you, as Brother Green was teaching this morning, preaching, brought my mind back to when the Lord had saved me.
Amen.
I was in the Air Force in California, raised in Texas, Bible Belt, lost, dead in trespasses and sins. And by God's grace, I was in California, sat under the preaching of a Baptist preacher, and the Lord called me out of my sin. I remember going to work on a Friday, foul mouth, telling filthy jokes, and the next Monday, I was a different person. And I could remember that like it was yesterday. But the Lord called sinners out, and certainly called me out through the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
But let's look here in Luke chapter 7, beginning of verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is our Lord, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Isn't that precious?
Mm-hmm.
Now when the Pharisee, there's your religious crowd, now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. He wouldn't dare say this out loud. But you see, the Lord is omniscient. And he knows all, he hears all. And he knew exactly what this Pharisee was thinking. Saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. Now what he's saying is, if this guy's really who he claims he is, he'd have nothing to do with that old harlot woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Isn't that precious? Simon, I got a message for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor, which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Now, a lot of people get hung up on the pence. I want to get hung up on the fact that they both owed a debt they could not pay.
Yeah.
And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon. So he's looking at the woman. He's talking to Simon. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Now was there cordial? In those days, they wore sandals and feet were dirty. It was a cordial when you asked the guest in your house, you provided a way to wash his feet. But Simon didn't do this. But she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, But this woman, since time of I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Now again, you know, we shake hands. Usually we welcome someone. Well, back then they kissed on the cheek, or it was an expression of invite. Verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Now I want you to know this. Her sins wasn't forgiven because of what she did. She did what she did because her sins had already been forgiven.
Amen.
Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, it's said in our day, there are a lot of religious people who claim to love Jesus, but they love him little. Mm-hmm. They love him little. There are people who will not give to the Lord, to the church. I believe that if the Lord saved you, certainly you ought to be able to give something back to him. Amen?
Amen.
In order that others might be saved, or that the gospel might go forward. Verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Now, isn't that sweet? Folks, that's the sweetest word you ever heard.
Amen.
Thy sins are forgiven. Do you realize, folks, we were all bound for hell.
Yeah.
We were all hopelessly lost. Had the Lord not called us out of our sin, we'd be on our way to hell today.
Right.
Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Who can forgive sin? Well, I got news for you. The Messiah.
Amen.
The one who died, was buried, rose again, and has ascended to heaven, and is now our intercessor. And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. You know this world never knows peace. Do you know sinners never know real peace? That's the reason they got alcohol and drugs and all kind of foolishness, trying to find that peace that's found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can truly acknowledge how precious Christ is until he has seen himself as a condemned sinner, deserving of hellfire. The Pharisee, instead of rejoicing in the fact of this woman's repentance, had only bad thoughts of her former life. Without free forgiveness, none of us can escape the wrath to come. Our precious Savior has purchased this with his blood, so that he may bestow on all who believe in him. He saves those who call on him for salvation. Christ, by a parable, forces Simon to acknowledge that the great sinner that this woman had been, the greater love she ought to show to him, having received his pardon. Now we learn here that sin is a debt. It is a debt that we cannot pay. And all sinners are indebted to Almighty God. Now, though some appear to be greater sinners than others, we all owe a debt we cannot pay. The good news is that the Lord is willing to save all who will believe on him as their Lord and Savior. Precious gospel, precious Savior. What a wonderful change grace makes in a sinner's heart and life when he looks to Christ for forgiveness. I want to share with you this morning a message entitled, A Great Sinner. A Great Sinner. The Mary spoken of in our text is not Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast seven devils. It is not Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. She did anoint the feet of our Lord, but this anointing took place in Bethany and was just prior to Christ's crucifixion. You see that in Matthew 26:6. This anointing took place in the house of Simon the leper. Now the anointing spoken of in our text is very similar to that of Mary of Bethany. But this anointing took place about 6 months earlier and was in the house of Simon the Pharisee, which was located in Galilee. Now here we have the account of an offering of a poor returning wanderer who under a deep sense of gratitude brings the best she has to her Lord and is accepted by grace. Her humble actions caused Simon the Pharisee to object to the fact that the Lord allowed such a sinner to approach him. Now, in this text, we want to see grace and love. They go together. Grace and love. If the Lord has bestowed His grace on you, you will love Him and you will love others.
Amen.
Notice first, under this heading, we see God's grace bestowed on this woman. God's grace bestowed on this woman. Now, grace is glorious in its object. This woman was a sinner. She was condemned. She was unclean. She was dead in trespasses and sin. She loved her sin. And she invited others into sin. She was a vile, guilty sinner. She sinned and made others to sin. Her offense provoked the Lord to jealousy and stirred up His anger. Yet she was the object of distinguishing grace. She was ordained unto eternal life. Once again, the Lord had chosen the lowest of the low and the vilest of the vile. The Lord showed Himself to be a friend of publicans and sinners. Though a guilty, vile sinner, this woman was called out by the grace of God. The Lord said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Proud, respectable Simon, the Pharisee, is left in his sin, while this poor harlot is elected by distinguishing grace. This poor wretched sinner was called out by grace and was expressing her gratitude to the Lord by her actions. And again, if the Lord has saved you and you love Him, you will serve Him.
Amen.
They want to beg you to come to church. They want to beg you to give. You'll do it because you love Him. I mean, after all, He could have left us all go to hell and been just as glorious as He is today. Now, if you're saved here this morning, it's because Jehovah loved you from before the foundation of the world and has chosen you out of your sins by His grace. He certainly could have passed over you and left you in your sin. If the Lord had saved you, if He has saved you, you should be eternally grateful.
Amen.
Eternally grateful. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. This woman, which was a sinner, is now before us as a weeping penitent. She come to realize her sin was an offense against the holy God. And she was eternally sorry. The sinner of the city now declares herself to be a follower of the gracious Lord. What a change.
Amen.
What a change. Notice again, grace is magnified not only in the object, But grace is magnified in its fruits. This woman who was once a slave to sin now seeks to express her love to the Lord in the best way that she knows how. She seeks to express her love for the Lord in a way that the Pharisees could not do. He could not do, even if he tried. It wasn't in his heart to do it. By grace, this woman had heard the gospel and her heart was touched. She had heard of the abounding mercy of Christ and how he would accept all that were willing to come to him in faith. She was brought to conviction, turned from her sin in repentance, and was gloriously saved. Her faith grew, and she was determined to express her devotion to her Lord in the only way she knew how. This woman seized the opportunity to show her love to the Lord when he came to her city. Don't you know she was excited? Amen. When she heard her Lord had come to Galilee where she lived. When she knew that Jesus had entered the Pharisee's house. Now folks, that took some doing. Here's this harlot woman who had gloriously been saved. But that Pharisee didn't know it. And she's going into this Pharisee's house for one purpose. And that was to show her love to her Lord. So when she knew Jesus had entered the Pharisee's house, she too entered with a box of precious ointment. Being overwhelmed by her emotions, she began to cry. And wash his feet with her tears. And dry them with her hair. And kissed him, and then began to pour the precious ointment on his feet. Notice again, grace deserves our praise. You see, there's not a one of us deserve God's grace. He looked on us in mercy and grace. Praise the Lord. This woman's heart was changed by grace. Let me ask you. Has the Lord changed your heart by grace? Or are you just religious? We meet so many people today. Oh, they claim to love Jesus. They'll shake their hands and that. But somehow, they just don't have the love for the Lord that this woman expressed. Grace does not choose a person and leave him in his sin. Grace does not choose a person and leave him the same. The grace of God had worked a wondrous transformation in this woman's soul. Did you know, in that effectual call, God not only calls us out of our sin, but he quickens us.
Amen.
He gives us light where before we were darkness. We can all of a sudden understand and receive the blessed truths of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in order to believe, you have to repent. But let me tell you, you're not going to repent until you see yourself as a sinner on your way to hell. And you see Christ as your only Savior. And that comes only through the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Through the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this woman's whole countenance was changed. This shamelessly immoral person was brought to repentance and became a new creature in Christ. I want you to look with me. I want you to remember this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, you're here this morning and you're saved. This should have happened to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is, be saved, be born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Folks, listen. When the Lord saved you, He made you a new person.
Amen.
From the inside out. He changed your heart. He changed your desires. He changed your way of life. Therefore, being in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now listen, if that hasn't happened to you, you're claiming something you're not. Because I'll tell you, when the Lord saves a sinner, He never leaves him the same.
Amen.
You become a new creature in Christ. And I'm telling you, things change. You'll love what you used to hate, and you'll hate what you used to love. That's how you know you're saved. That's the assurance of salvation. People always ask, well, how do I know if I'm saved? Well, has the Lord changed your heart? That's how you know. If He hadn't changed your heart, you're just kidding yourself. You're on your way to hell thinking you're going to heaven. Now in sorrow and shame, she wept bitterly. I'll tell you, as she washed our Savior's feet with her tears, she's realizing what the Lord had done for her. Have you ever come to the realization of what the Lord has done for you? Has He ever really touched your heart? I mean, man, there's a time you were a hard-hearted sinner. Man, I was a foul-mouthed dude. I was a member of a church. Liberal church, never heard the gospel. You know, I tell Baptists, they can't hardly believe this, but I was raised, I was 19 years old before I ever heard the gospel. And I was raised in a liberal church. I mean, we had Santa Claus and we had Christmas trees and we even studied the catechism. But I never once heard the gospel. Never. Until I got into a Baptist church and the Lord called me out of my sin. This woman expressed her gratitude to the Lord in a very practical way. Now, it's rank hypocrisy to profess to love God and then go to be merely miserly in your giving to Him through the church. A lot of people claim to love the Lord, but boy, when it comes to giving, they're stingy.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, that's not an attitude of a Christian.
Amen.
In fact, I tell people, if you don't give the Lord, you're robbing yourself. You're robbing the church, and certainly you're stealing from the Lord.
Amen.
You find that in Matthew and in Malachi. But it's a dangerous thing to steal from God.
Yeah.
Would a man rob God?
Yeah.
There are those who do. This woman was willing to give all she had in order to bring glory to her Lord. Notice again, grace is displayed in Christ's defense of this humble woman. Proud Simon was greatly offended that Jesus would allow this sinful woman to touch Him. Look back again, if you will, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Notice verse 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a rotten sinner. Aren't you glad the Lord came to seek and to save that which is lost? You see, that's where He found us. Now there are many proud people in our day who are offended by the free grace of our Lord. Some cannot accept the doctrine of election. Some get all upset over the doctrine of predestination, even though it is clearly taught in the Scripture. Now listen, if you don't believe what the Scripture teaches, you'll admit you're a heathen. The Scripture teaches election. The Scripture teaches predestination.
Amen.
If you don't like that, talk to the Lord about it.
Yeah.
That's God's doctrine. I'm glad He loved me before the foundation of the world. I'm glad He called me out of my sin.
Amen.
I'm glad He didn't leave it up to me. I'd be on my way to hell today.
Right.
Some get all upset over the doctrine of predestination. I had a woman call one day when I was pastoring there in Worcester. And she says, I don't like your church because you preach predestination. I said, well, it's in the Bible. Read your Bible.
Amen.
It's nothing but pride that moves a person to reject these precious truths that are found in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to admit, when I first got saved, I didn't even know what predestination was. But when the Lord, through time, introduced that truth to me in election, I didn't have any trouble with it because it's God's Word. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Notice again this morning, grace is seen in the bestowing of added blessings. It was her love for the Lord that moved this woman to pour out her affections on him.
Yeah.
How much do you love the Lord? You know, a lot of people claim to love the Lord and they can't get up and go to church. That's sad. The Lord then gave her full assurance of her salvation. I'll tell you, that's a blessing of serving the Lord. When you serve the Lord, the Lord's going to bless you. He's going to give you assurance.
Amen.
A lot of people want assurance, but they don't want to serve the Lord. Amen. And He saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Isn't that sweet? Thy sins are forgiven. He then told her to go in peace. Verse 50. Now if you'll look to the Lord in faith, He will bestow His blessings on you. He will lift you up out of miry clay and set your feet upon the solid rock. He will put a new song in your mouth and establish your goings. So we noted first this morning the grace of our Lord. But notice secondly, we see the love that this woman had for her Lord. Now she loved the Lord because the Lord had bestowed His grace upon her first. But look at verses 37, 38 of Luke 7. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at His feet behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. What a precious sight. Now the source of love is the grace of God.
Amen.
Source of love is the grace of God. No one in his natural state loves God. Look with me, just flip with me quickly. Back in Romans chapter 7. And here we find our natural state. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 8 verse 7. Romans 8 verse 7. It says, because the carnal mind, that's the unsaved mind. That's the mind we had before the Lord quickened us. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now, folks, that word enmity means that a continual state of war.
Yeah.
Because the carnal mind is against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And what's that verse teach? That lost sinner has no ability to serve God.
Right.
None. He's in love with himself. He's in love with the world.
Right.
Look at verse 8. So then, They that are in the flesh, that's the unsaved. Now we're all in the flesh, but we've been quickened by the Spirit. But those who are left in their sin, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So I want you to notice, the lost sinner has no desire to serve God and no ability to serve God in himself. So you see, we need a Savior. That's our only hope. Now, if you truly love God this morning, you will desire to serve Him. Mm-hmm. And your faithful service will give that evidence to your salvation. You see, folks, that's where assurance comes from. It comes from knowing the Lord and having that desire from the depths of your heart to serve Him because you love Him. Now, as this woman began to cry tears and anoint our Lord's feet with her tears, let me tell you, we may not cry tears like that, but we will express our love for the Lord in some way. You can't love the Lord. You can't have Him bestow His grace upon you without you having to love Him in return. Mm-hmm. We serve the Lord because we love Him. We don't serve Him because we have to.
Right.
I don't serve the Lord to go to heaven. I serve the Lord because I love Him. And so should you. Now this woman had received this love. This woman had received this love by the hand of faith. By the hand of faith. You know what faith is? It's like reaching out and receiving the Lord as your Savior. She was saved by faith. The Lord said, "Thy faith has saved thee." Look back in Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 50. And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee." This woman had trusted Christ for salvation. Now it was only after she had been forgiven of her sins that she desired to express her gratitude to the Lord for what He had done. She didn't do it in order to be saved. She did it because the Lord had already bestowed His grace and mercy upon her. He had quickened her heart. And she had... So to love and sin, she loved her Savior. Well, I conclude with several questions for you. First, have you seen yourself as a great sinner this morning? I believe there's a sense, folks, in which there's a time before we're saved, we see ourselves as the greatest sinner ever lived. Before God. Secondly, have you trusted Christ to forgive you of your sins? You know, there's some people know they're sinners, but they just won't look to Christ. Hope salvation's in Christ. You must repent of your sin and believe on Him in order to be saved. And then thirdly, have you been quickened by the Holy Spirit? Has the Holy Spirit quickened you and made you spiritually alive? Has there been a change in your life? Do you love what you used to hate and hate what you used to love? Then fourthly, how much do you love the Lord this morning? How much do you love the Lord this morning? Now, I can tell you the Lord knows your heart. He knows your heart.
Amen.
But But think of who the Lord is. He's the sovereign of the universe. He has an eternal plan that He is working. And there's coming judgment day. Maybe sooner than we think. But you don't want to be caught in your sin on judgment day. That's the reason the Savior came. He came to save sinners like you and me. If you haven't trusted the Lord, if you haven't got on your face before the Lord and cried out for mercy, you need to do that before it's everlasting too late. Now, it's only through faith in Christ that a person can have peace with God. I want to close with this morning, Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. And I want you to look at verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Lord's coming. When He comes, it's going to be too late to get saved. Today is the day of salvation. But look here, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, notice, through our Lord Jesus Christ. This woman come to realize that she deserved hell, and the Lord saved her, and she was eternally grateful. And she expressed that, as we find in our text this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love.